with reporting from around the world. It's time for Eye on Travel with America's number one frontline travel news journalist, Peter Greenberg. Now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome back aboard Eye on Travel for this third weekend in November of 2019. If you're just joining us, get out those maps, boys and girls. We'll tell you where we are. 51 degrees, 30 minutes north, 0 degrees, 7 minutes west. We're coming to you from London and the Marriott Park Lane right here in the heart of the city. You can always reach me at peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. In fact, let's do that right now. Here's one saying, it's from Heather Fernandez, who writes, "What do you think of rocking chairs at airports? I heard you talk about them, and I recently saw one in person. It's almost as if they're apologizing for having a bad airport system." She used another word for that. But in any case, Heather, here's the problem. What I had to say about them then is what I have to say about them now. They look nice. They're cute. I've sat in them. I've rocked in them, but they're sending a message. And the message that they're sending is, you're going to be here a while. And that's not the message I think airports need to send. I don't want to go to an airport. I want to go through one as fast as I possibly can. I'm not there for the retail experience. I'm not there for fine dining. I just want to get through it. And so look, when you see a rocking chair and it looks nice and you want to sit in it, okay. But two things are going to happen. Either your flight's late or you're going to fall asleep and miss your flight. Oh, by the way, speaking of airports, you know, I actually judge airports based on something else. So many of us take connecting flights that inevitably we're going to end up doing a layover. And I judge the airports by which offers the best layover opportunities, regardless of rocking chairs. And guess what? And most of them that offer the best opportunities are in Asia. Incheon Airport in South Korea has multiple short tour options to all the nearby attractions in Seoul, like temples and local markets. In Singapore, Changi Airport always wins awards for this. They have an extensive list of attractions inside the airport, including an indoor waterfall and butterfly garden, even a free 24-hour movie theater. But what's really cool is the airport offers a free city tour if your airport layover is more than 4 hours. The Hong Kong Airport, now this is only if you're a Mickey Mouse fanatic, is only about 10 miles from Hong Kong Disneyland. But forgetting that, the bottom line is, as I said at the beginning of answering your question, you don't want to just go to an airport. You don't want to live at an airport. You want to get in and get out as often as you can. So anytime you see those rocking chairs, remember what I told you about the message they are sending. Here's one from Judy Lurie, who writes, "I'm not too sure what you or anyone refers to when they say to make sure that your real ID is airport compliant. Are you saying that even if I get a real ID card, there's a possibility that it won't be accepted at the airport?" No, I'm saying just the opposite. It's not about it being airport compliant. It's got to be TSA compliant. And, you know, this is a law that was passed in 2015, and the deadline kept getting extended. Now they're saying no more extensions. Every state that issues a government ID, whether it's a government ID or a state ID or a real driver's license, you need to have it have a real ID that can be read by the TSA at the airports, and that will constitute an acceptable piece of identification. Now, if you happen to have a passport, then all that is moot. But I'm just telling you, your ID needs that. You need to have that ID on your driver's license. Just check with your state motor vehicles division, and they can walk you through it, okay? Now, I love this. From Paulina Rathfire writes, "Last week I traveled to Chicago to see my daughter and granddaughter. I baked her my world-famous gluten-free lemon poppy seed and ginger lemon cake and brought it with me to the airport in a small container. I have TSA PreCheck, so I didn't think anything would go wrong, and the lady 2 people ahead of me had a bag of cookies with her, which no one said anything about. So I didn't have any worries. Of course, when it was my turn to put my belongings on the conveyor belt, the TSA agent yelled at me and said, 'I can't bring the cake past security.' Of course, they called it a liquid. Guess what? She nearly missed her flight, because she sat on the side of the TSA like a stubborn child, and she ate the cake. Did you eat the whole cake? I bet she did. Here's the bottom line. Especially during the holiday season, the TSA even determines that a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is a liquid. How about that pecan pie? You got a problem. You know what? Do yourself a favor. Don't take anything with you on the plane. Leave enough time for when you land to stop at a nearby bakery, have them wrap it up in a non-advertising box, and make believe you baked it. Okay? They'll still appreciate it. Trust me, they will always appreciate it. Okay? I mean, it was just, it's silly, but every TSA station is different about how they want to enforce their definition of a liquid, but why would you risk it? I wouldn't. All right, here's one from Robert S., who writes, I was recently on a plane where the flight attendant didn't want to give me headphones because she saw that I had headphones in my ears. But the headphones in my ears were iPhone headphones and thus don't fit into the armrest auxiliary plug to watch TV on the plane. When I explained this to her, she didn't believe me until I went through the trouble of taking out the headphones from my phone and showed it to her. She then, annoyed, gave me headphones. Why are angry people taking up jobs as flight attendants? Well, that's an easy one, Robert, because too many people are asking for headphones. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. What I'm trying to say is that the bottom line here, you just need to realize that not everybody's having the same great day that you are. Or do what I do. When you took those headphones from the flight attendant, did you keep them? I do. And that way I can plug them in on any other flight without having to risk getting the sarcastic look. I almost said narcastic. What do I know about? That's if they're heavily sedated, but that's another story. So here's one from Camille Ciroli, who says, wondering if you've ever tried Away, Eagle Creek, eBags, or Briggs & Riley. Consumer Report just called those the best bags in the industry, and I'm looking for a new set, so I thought I'd ask. Actually, I've tried them all, and I'm still a big fan of one of those that you mentioned, Briggs & Riley. They're really built like battleships. They're well-designed. But the best part is, and I challenge other luggage companies to match this, their warranty is amazing. Every other warranty of every other luggage company I've ever seen has an exclusion clause, and they're saying, we won't fix anything because of normal wear and tear. I have no idea what that means, right? If the airline conveyor belt ate your bag, is that normal wear and tear? Got me. But they always, kind of hide behind that. Briggs & Riley, completely different deal. Theirs is a lifetime warranty, and they will fix anything. Now, look, I trash my bags because, as many of you know, I don't check them domestically. I FedEx them, and they get trashed. But guess what? If they break a zipper, Briggs & Riley fixes it. If I lose a seam, they fix it. If a handle comes off, they fix it. No questions asked. You just got to pay to get it there and get it back. But you know what? It's worth it. So I really like it. Plus, they have a great design where they put the sliding handle for the roller boards on the outside of the bag so it doesn't take up interior space. That makes a really big difference. So there you have that. Of course, this one comes from, who's this coming from? From Ivan, who writes in New York, do certain seats on the plane cost more money than others? Curious because I've recently become an aisle guy. Yes, what the airlines describe as premium seats actually, it's nothing to do with where you're sitting on the plane in terms of middle aisle or a window. It has to do with how close you are to the front of the plane. And they'll even sell you a middle seat closer to the front of the plane that's a middle seat, and they'll call it a premium seat. It's ridiculous. You know what? Get an aisle in the back because you'll be better off. Back with more from the Marriott Park Lane right here in London as Eye on Travel continues right after this.
To participate in the program, visit petergreenberg.com or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com.